Now live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Day 3, coverage of Super Bowl 49 live from the Phoenix Convention Center. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Tony, I think it's quite appropriate to say, much like Marshawn Lynch, I'm only here so I don't get fined. I'm only here because I have to be. All right? There are sponsors to take care of. There are bosses to take care of.
Oh, yeah. It must be Wednesday of Super Bowl week if that's the case.
I would be deep in slumber for the next 7 more hours given the choice right now.
Sure.
I will say this. The NFL doesn't get everything right, but they get the media party pretty right every single year.
Yes, they do.
Open bar, beer, wine, liquor, nice variety, wonderful Tex-Mex food.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of those desserts. There were
I had ice cream.
Table after table. Would you have Cold Stone Creamery?
Yeah, just and like Cold Stone ice cream.
We're so freaking spoiled, Tony. But my goodness, they didn't run out of liquor, but I sure made an effort. Right. Oh, shh.
Yeah.
You're thinking too loud over there.
I know. Like, I got to the party. Obviously, I was doing my show last night, so I got there about an hour after it started, and I knew when I arrived that you were already,
Good.
I don't know how many drinks in. I had no idea. I know,
was it when I ran up to you and hugged you and kissed you on the cheek? Was that the
I know thing? You're a crown guy or nothing when it comes to liquor, so I figured you're not a big beer drinker at these kind of things, so you're probably in the wine.
Crown or red wine is what I'm drinking.
So we get over to the bar. I'm like, all right, where can we go get a drink? So we get over there, and I'm like, all right, I'm looking at the options I have. I don't like tequila, so I wasn't going to go tequila, so I was like, all right, Jim Beam it is, and I don't know how many of them I had, but it was enough. But I'm not feeling any after effects today. You watched me. I chugged that entire bottle. I would have chugged the other half a bottle that was in the room too. But I thought
water. When we got back.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought I'd save that for you.
Well, you gave
instead,
me.
Instead, you're sitting here with a headache.
I took a sip and then I said, "Good night. Gotta go. I'll iron my shirt in the morning."
Right.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I hope it's a good morning for everybody in
Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville. We are chipper and eager to talk with you for the next couple of hours. God bless two-hour radio shows, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
These guys who do 3 and 4 hours, they're crazy. Okay. Yeah. Today, you'll hear the folks we caught up with. There are a number of them from Media Day yesterday. The zoo, the circus. That was Media Day. U.S. Airways Center, I'd never been to that venue before where the Suns play basketball. In fact, they're playing tonight against the Wizards. I'm going to tell you now, Tony, I'm going to skip that one, okay? There's some cheap tickets on StubHub.
There really are.
I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah, we're still thinking about going on Friday night, though, when the Bulls are
Friday
in town.
Friday night, Bulls are in town. Eat your heart out, Beef. Okay?
It's Bulls.
The 93 finals. Bulls and Suns Friday night, so... Who knows? We may do that.
The tickets are only 3 times as much money for Friday.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 3 times. Right. For upstairs, I was looking at,
you want to go sit courtside?
Well, I don't know about courtside.
You want the whole experience?
I don't want courtside, but I got to sit. I went to a Heat game with Lee Sterling when we went to the Super Bowl. Richard Miller and I down there maybe for Colts and Bears,
mm-hmm.
I think. And he's got great seats. They're not courtside. You know, you've got that first section that's right by the court.
Yeah.
He's literally in the first row in the next section. And the price difference was staggering. I mean, how much better it was. But that view is unbelievable. NBA basketball, those guys make the court, we were talking about this yesterday, look like, you know, a little play school deal. 5 steps and they're going baseline to baseline practically. I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's Friday's so far away right now. Yesterday was, the scene on the floor was kind of like how my head feels at the moment. I think everything was crowded and jostling.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder. The layout, people don't care that much. We like to complain about everything. The layout wasn't the best, but we got the job done. We battled. We spoke one-on-one with a number of Seahawks and Patriots. No, you will not hear Tony's one-on-one with Tom Brady. You will not hear my one-on-one with Russell Wilson coming up.
But we're saving those for something exclusive.
Right. We're gonna wait until we get that 3-hour show. Actually, we're doing a 4-hour show on Friday.
We are.
Come to think of it. As Frangie and Blue are going to hightail it out of Phoenix on Friday morning, we're going to go until, what would that be, 2 o'clock on the East Coast.
10 to 2, we're doing.
I have to think. I still have to do the
you're
math.
Probably listening to us.
Yes.
Where we are, that means 8 to noon, but where they are, 10 to 2.
And XL Primetime will follow after that, I believe, from 2 until 6 o'clock that afternoon.
And don't ask me about the math about London. When we're at the stadium, I can at least just look up and say, oh, London time. I'm not there.
Right, we have a clock on the wall. And,
is it 5 hours?
Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio back at Everbank, which is very nice for the simple-minded such as myself. But, you know, look, it was what it was. There was you know, a little more of the farce element this year compared to the last couple of years. You know, like, the you know, just the silliness. People dressed up in costumes and all that.
Yeah.
One guy had some kind of football gear on with all these little GoPro cameras all over him. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I saw the guy, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What was that supposed to give you? Like the fly's eye perspective, you know? It had like 6 different lenses going at once. I don't
that's
know.
What we need the found footage version of Media Day.
Right? Like, I mean, the Blair Witch Project, U.S. Airways Center edition.
I don't get that.
Might have been happening. But, you know, Marshawn Lynch did his 5 minutes yesterday. This is what I don't get from the NFL. We were talking, we didn't realize at the time what the time limit, you had to do 4.5 minutes or whatever it is. How do they come up with that number? I mean, it's an hour session, but you only have to do 4.5 minutes.
So why give them a podium?
Why bother?
Why not put somebody up there that's going to talk for the hour?
Or, you know, why even make, if you're only going to make him do 4 minutes and you know he's not going to say anything, why even make it 4 minutes? If it's an hour, make it an hour. Just stand up there, make him say, I'm just doing this so I don't get fined for a straight hour. I would do that, but whatever. You know, Marshawn.
It's not the way the NFL works. It makes my filibuster idea even better, by the way. If I knew we only had to do 5 minutes, seriously, I would have said that. I wouldn't have said anything if I was Marshawn Lynch. I would have sat down. I would have written out a 5-minute response to an answer. And when the first question came in, I would have responded for 5 minutes, some long meandering.
That had nothing to do with what the question was.
Just talking about my experience on the flight or whatever the heck I wanted to talk about getting out there, how excited I was to be out there. And then I'd look at my watch and say, 5 minutes is up. And I'd walk out. That's what I would do if I was Marshawn Lynch, but he did what he does. And
look, so be it.
Yeah, he is who he is. He doesn't like talking to the media. He feels like we have misconstrued things that he said in the past, I suppose, and he's done with us. And the Seahawks fans do not care. Every time he responded with that answer in that room yesterday, there was a cheer from the Seahawks fans that were listening to it on
the
radio.
Right, because they have these little radios where you can dial into all the different podiums. Great crowd yesterday. We talked about
really
this on
good.
The Fat Tony show last night. I was a guest on the Fat Tony show last night, which was excellent. Fantastic turnout in terms of spectators. You know, they've been trying this for a few years now to let fans in. They can buy, it's like $20 to come in, and you can sit through both sessions, and you can listen in to any, you can listen in to NFL Network or any one of the specific players that's on one of the podiums. And, you know, the 12th man, I give him credit, man. You know, they earned their nickname over the last 2 years, Tony. They dominated the scene.
They did.
In New York City last year. I mean, absolutely dwarfed the amount of Bronco fans that were on hand. This year, it's a little closer, but in terms of volume and support, much more enthusiasm, I thought, from the Seahawk contingent. And I did notice there was fewer media, not by much, but by some degree, for the Seahawks. I think that really, I don't know what they were expecting, if Brady was going to drop some Deflategate admission. Like, you know what, dude? I was on the other side of that bathroom door telling him exactly how much air to take out of those balls. You know, 90 seconds goes by quick, doesn't it, guys? What did you expect him to say? But I think there was some of that, because it did thin out a little bit, I thought, for the second session. But the crowd volume, much, much more supportive of the Seattle Seahawks.
No, it's kind of cool. You know, we went to the Pro Bowl on Sunday night. I wasn't really sure what the crowd was going to look like out there. And obviously, you know, Phoenix showed up, and there were fans from all across the league but a lot of Cardinals fans in the house on Sunday night, and was really impressed by the crowd there. And then again yesterday for Media Day, which I don't get. I know you and I had this conversation yesterday. I guess if you're a fan that's coming in for the week, it's just an hour that you're going to check out your team. And it's more access than fans are usually given. So from that perspective, I understand it if you're a fan that came into town for the game on Sunday and you just want to have another hour in the middle of the day on Tuesday where you're getting to check out your guys. I get where that's cool. There were a bunch of kids and stuff. That was kind of neat there to see their favorite player and team. That was really cool. But you're right. The 12th man, they were loud. They were proud. They were chanting Seahawks throughout the entire hour. They were cheering their guys whenever they heard something that they wanted to cheer for. It was really cool in the room yesterday. I don't personally think I would ever go to a media day as a fan. I can't see myself wanting to do that, but the fans certainly do seem to be enjoying that access that the NFL is giving them.
But think about it. Let's say the Super Bowl was in wherever it is. It's in Miami or wherever, and the Jaguars are in the Super Bowl. If you're a Jag fan, you would want to be around that team
definitely. Every
opportunity. And one day, Jag Nation will get that chance to rise up and do just that. Metro Rooter Wednesday just getting kicked off here, brought to you all week by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Check out jacksgreekfest.com online. The Jacksonville Greek Festival coming in late April to the fairgrounds. Amazing food, amazing entertainment, a lot of fun. You don't have to be Greek to enjoy the Greek culture, and we're looking forward to the return of the Greek Fest to Jacksonville in April coming up. So check that out. Also, like their Facebook page, St. John the Divine Jacks on Facebook. Every like, every new like this week increases our donation that we're going to make to Wilson's Children's Hospital at the end of the week, Tony. And again, we've got a lot of business to take care of here. Fan feedback spotlight all week long. We're basically encouraging you to do the same thing. Get in the Super Bowl swag bag contest. We got some interesting swag last night.
We did.
At the media party, including the rare collector's edition Super Bowl 49 media party flip-flops.
Yeah.
Hope they're your size. I mean, they're not one size fits all. I think we grabbed some mid-size pair, and we'll go with that. They'll make a handy wall decoration and just be very nice in your man cave one day, or your lady cave for that matter, whatever the case may be. Here's what you got to do. Tweet me at MD_1010XL. If you can, use the hashtag SBSwagBag, and it'll make it easier to sort. Or you can email me, MikeD@1010XL.com, or you can post in the thread that's dedicated on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Predict who's going to win the game, and one thing that will happen during the game when we see what happens. We'll collect all these, and we'll see which group of entries met both conditions, got either Seahawks or Patriots right, and then a prediction on what will happen in the game. For instance, I got one yesterday. Seahawks win. Marshawn Lynch will have a run over 10 yards. Okay, that's very reasonable. It's not a guarantee to happen. It's pretty, you know, likely to happen, you would think. But, you know, something along those lines, it could be more difficult. And ultimately, the one that comes true that we deem to be the most unlikely to have come true, in other words, the longest odds, we will award that person the Super Bowl swag bag.
Yeah, baby.
With all the free junk that we get throughout the course of the week. Oh, we got some more Old Spice body spray yesterday. I know you're waiting for it. I know you can't hold off if you're thinking about getting your Old Spice body spray this week, and just enter the swag bag contest.
That's
right. Maybe you'll get your own free supply of Old Spice body spray. Metro Rooter Wednesday, when we return in a moment, we'll hear from a number of the Seahawks yesterday that I got a chance to catch up with Tony as well. We'll hear from John Clayton coming up today from ESPN. Charles Johnson, breakout wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater's favorite target over the second half of the season, is going to join us a little bit later on. Later in the show, we'll hear plenty from the New England Patriots side of things as well, and kind of set the scene for you what Wednesday is going to look like here on Radio Row. Frank Frangie and Rick Blue will be along at their usual time here this afternoon. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live in Phoenix on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital, on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, glad you're along with us this morning. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here. I'm glad I made it to this point to be along with you this morning. I'm feeling a little bit better, Tony. The caffeine is starting to work its magic
nice
on me. So I'm my usual chipper self now. This is as good as it's going to get, which is pretty much the case every single day. We're actually going to sit down with Blake Bortles.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
At about 2 o'clock this afternoon, you'll hear that interview tomorrow morning. He's here on behalf of the Microsoft Surface tablet.
Mm.
Everyone's here on behalf of something for the most part, right? And that's fine. That's the game. They come. They're promoting. We talk to them. They make their sales pitch. They make a little dough for a, kind of an appearance fee.
And we get a little show, baby.
And we get a show. They get some dough, and the world goes round and round. Biggest one-day appearance fee that I'm aware of, and I found this out, I forget how, it must have been maybe his handler told me. Somebody told me, and put it this way, I believed it at the time. I can't tell you the source of the information specifically in my my alcohol mist right now. But Joe Montana,
uh-huh,
on behalf of the avocado growers of California.
Big time.
Big time. Wanted to remind you, don't forget the guacamole. I'm not kidding you. I mean, it wasn't for a specific company. It was the avocado growers of California. $100,000. Get on as many radio stations in one day as you possibly can. $100,000.
What a job.
That's not bad, right? I would take that.
Oh, yeah.
What does that work out to a year? A lot.
Okay. A ton.
A bunch. you know, Emmett Smith got, I don't know what he was even promoting a couple of years ago. Somebody told me he was getting $25,000 for the day.
Well, he kept taking our candy.
He did, right? He meant more than made up for it. He supplemented that $25,000.
He kept swinging by the table,
that
and he'd grab another dum-dum.
Let me get the dum-dums out.
Right, and there. Then we'd be like, well, why don't you sit down for a minute? He's like, man, they got me running. They got me running.
Right.
And I'm like, come on. You know?
We finally got him.
Yeah, we got it. He sat down for 5 minutes.
Donna Murphy.
His handler did not like it. His handler was standing there going, come on, come on.
His handler can shut it right now, okay? And you do get that. They sit down with you, and 2 minutes later, they're giving you the wrap-up sign. Just don't look at him, Tony. That's the easiest way. They're not going to rip the headset off the guy. So we go from there. Yesterday, we didn't have that issue. These guys were just promoting. Well, they were really doing their civic duty, I guess. They weren't promoting anything. They were promoting their own team. But the first guy you're going to hear from today is a member of the Seahawks secondary. Let's listen in.
I got Byron Maxwell here with me, Legion of Boom, man. It's a surreal experience, I think, every year for the Super Bowl. But having been there, done that for the Seahawks, is there a little bit of, you know, extra familiarity makes it a little bit easier this week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once you travel that road, it's a lot easier because you already cut down, you already paved the way. So, yeah, definitely a little comfort.
You with this Patriot wide receiver corps. They got the little guys, you know, shifty guys like Edelman and Amendola. They get a big guy in LaFell, obviously Gronk in the tight end group. They give you a lot of different looks. What kind of challenges does that present for you?
Like you said, they give you a lot of different looks. So you got to really study. Because you got a lot of different looks. Certain looks, you're not going to be able to dissect every look. So you got to pick a look that you know and just go from there.
The Patriots like to game plan week to week. And they'll switch up. One week, they'll be a power running team. Then they'll throw it 55 times. How much of a challenge is that to prepare to not really know necessarily what you're going to get?
Yeah, but I mean, you can look at other teams that's kind of built like us, and you can get an idea. You get to start thinking like, okay, maybe they attack us this way, and you just got to be ready for how they attack you and your personally how you got to handle it, so you better handle it in game time.
You were talking a minute ago comparing Tom Brady to Peyton Manning and saying when you get in the league, players are expected to not have an opinion on who's a better player. Right? In your opinion, you've seen them both. You're going to play against them both now on the Super Bowl stage. Who would you take?
I would take Brady. I just like his game. I think he's calm. He always comes up with a big play. Like you know, people don't like to hear that though. I feel like people don't like to hear your opinion. Like, but I was a fan before I got the lead. And you're not gonna tell me I can't tell I have an opinion. So it's crazy.
So being a fan, I mean, you're a football fan. You're a football player your whole life. What is it like when you grow up and you finally have your dream realized and you get to play in the Super Bowl? You get to win the Super Bowl. You get to do it again. What is that like?
Man, to be honest with you, I haven't even thought about it. Like, you know, the ring from last year, I don't even know where it's at. I know where it's at, but...
But, like...
It's one of them things, like, once I get back, once I get done with the league, once I get with my career, I'll probably look back and be like, wow, I did some great things. But right now, I'm in the moment. So I'm thinking about what's next.
You're probably not thinking about comparing this team to last year's team, but defensively, do you feel like you guys are better, maybe a year older, a little bit wiser? Is this a better defense possibly than the one that won the title last year?
No, I can't say that. I can't say that. We had a lot of – that's D linemen. We had Red Bryant. We had Clem. We had Mike V and Cliff Averill coming off the bench. Like, not the bench, per se, but, like, you know, they weren't even starting. So it's like, man, it's hard to say that was a better defense. I mean, we was truly great. He was ready. It was times in the game where we would be like, man, listen, let's just turn up. And nobody can do nothing about it. So that'd be hard to say. That's hard.
Speaking of getting better, Russell Wilson, third year. I mean, this guy's got a resume that he's built in that is among the greats already. Where has he improved from last year to this year?
I mean, Russ is just the point guard, man. I look at Russ. He knows when to go and when to, like, let the game come to him. That's the best way I can put it. I think that he's developing that as he goes along.
Well, I tell you what, man, you get an incredible opportunity that a lot of players would love to take advantage of. I'm sure you guys have talked about that. Seize the moment, right? I mean, it seems like you're going to be in one of these every year, but that's not always the case.
No, it's not always the case. You know, it's just luck and just blessings, really. So, I mean, like, you got to seize the moment. You don't get here often, so you got to win it when you get here.
Play well. Good luck this week.
Thank you, man.
Byron Maxwell. So he was fun to me. You know, I thought... he was pretty candid. I thought it was hilarious. He goes, I don't even know where it is. Well, I know where it is.
Well, I know where it is.
Right, because they all want to say that, right? I don't even think about that. I don't even know where that Super Bowl ring is.
Think about
that
it.
That was last year, Tony. Give me a break is right, right? Take that thing out every night and look at that rock and just knock it on the table a few times, all right? Just like House of Cards, for all you House of Cards fans. Season 3 is coming up pretty soon, by the way, it is. Netflix. Very excited about that. So there's Byron Maxwell now. Brent Martineau. Use his powers of persuasion. As you can hear, by the way, the background. It was a constant din of noise in there, and you had to really strain at times to be face to face with somebody and hear what they were saying. But the only real local tie, there are a couple of guys, you know, with school ties to the North Florida or, you know, Florida area, you know, with Dominic Easley, even though he's on IR with the Patriots, and Brian Stork with FSU, and we talked about him last night. But Cliff Averill, Clay High School, I mean, this is the local guy among local guys. I know a lot of Jag fans would love to have seen him on their team a couple of years ago. And look, he made a great choice. He went to a great defense, and he's playing for another championship this year. Brent Martineau caught up with Cliff Averill for a couple minutes yesterday.
Here we go again, right?
Oh, man, back at the big show, man. 2 years back to back, it's a blessing, man. This is nuts. This is one of the most fun parts of the whole situation, I think. But, no, this is cool.
I still can't get over the fact that you lost 16 of them with Detroit, and now you're here at 2 Super Bowls. Do you pinch yourself sometimes?
Oh, man, that's nuts, because to be able to be at the very bottom, I think I'm one of the only players to probably ever do it. Go 0-16 and then being in the Super Bowl, not only winning the Super Bowl, but being back the next year, man. It's been a heck of a ride. A lot of hard work, a lot of faith, and eventually got here, and it's a blessing again.
How happy were you to sign that contract and then stay in Seattle now for a few more years?
Man, we have something special, man. We have something special there, and I'm glad they consider me to be one of the core guys there. They feel like, you know, I can be a part of something special for the next few years, and I'm just glad to know where I'll be at for the next few years is the biggest thing for me.
You're going to keep your house in Jacksonville too, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I'm always coming back home. Jacksonville is where I'm going to be at during the offseason. I'll probably be there back by Friday next week, so definitely going back home.
What about this matchup, obviously, against one of the best quarterbacks ever to play, and this offense is really good against your defense that's really good?
Oh, yeah, they have some great, you know, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback back there. They have a heck of a scheme. He's one of the best to do it, but we feel like we match up well against those guys. You know, we just got to be physical. We got to do what we do. I think that's the big thing is making them deal with us more so than worrying about what they're going to do.
What's been the approach to Deflategate?
To be honest with you, I haven't paid attention to it. First on defense, regardless if the ball is flat or not, you have to go out there and tackle. You have to go out there and put hits on him. So, you know, it really doesn't matter for us, per se, but, you know, it's just something for people to talk about.
Got the whole family coming out?
Oh, yeah, everybody's coming back up, pretty costly, but you never know when you're coming back again. Hopefully next year again, so we'll see.
It's funny, Cliff Averill, Tony, saying, you know, hopefully back in Jacksonville by next Friday. I was waiting to talk to Jonathan Casillas of the Patriots. We'll hear that interview a little bit later on. And he was talking to former Jaguar, now a member of the media, Kirk Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk's like, so, you know, what are your plans? What are your plans after, you know, the game ends and all that? And Casillas goes, well, hopefully a parade. And he goes, after that, I don't know. I've never been to Europe. Might go to Europe. I don't know. And it was kind of funny. You know, these guys think about it, man. You know, it's all the focus on the game. You can't help but be human and think about all that comes with it and the chance to win it and seize the moment. Because as we talk about, the Seahawks, they've done it. So even if they lose this time, most of these guys have been champions. But don't take it for granted, man. Get them while you can. And you don't know. I mean, Seattle, as good as they are, make another one for 10 years, 20 years. You just don't know how that's going to go. One guy who took advantage of his opportunity last year was Malcolm Smith. I mean, he goes from relative no-name, pretty much a no-name, intercepts the pass that Richard Sherman tips, the pass intended for Crabtree in the championship game, the NFC championship game, which puts him in the Super Bowl, then goes on to win Super Bowl MVP honors, and I got a chance to talk with him yesterday as well.
All right, we got Malcolm Smith of the Seahawks here with us. Man, take us back. I know you don't want to look back. I know you want to look ahead, but just for a moment, to think about what went into last year's Super Bowl, everything that happened to you personally, how your life has changed. What's different for you now a year after that?
Honestly, nothing, man. I've had some great experiences in the past year, and that's about it. I got to enjoy my time with my teammates and do some pretty cool stuff as MVP, but as a whole, nothing's really changed.
This defense, few people have changed on it, but the defense as a whole has maintained an incredibly high level of play.
Right, right. And we've been fortunate to be in that position. That doesn't happen a lot.
Is that coaching? Is that camaraderie? Is it chemistry? Is it all those things? What is it?
I think it's a blend of all those things. I feel like everybody in our building is just on the same page. From front office all the way upstairs to players, chefs, everybody. You know, our goal is to be in this situation and win this game.
A lot of defense, and most defense, I think, will say, we go into a game, we want to stop the run, make a team one-dimensional. Is that the same with the Patriots? Patriots are a different team offensively almost every week.
I mean, our goal is to stop the run, obviously, but we need to be prepared to play all phases. They're going to come out and attack us in different ways. They're probably going to do some stuff we haven't seen, right? Nobody's seen. So we just got to be ready to adjust, obviously, and do it quickly.
You watch Rob Gronkowski on film. How much stress does he put on a linebacking court?
A lot. I mean, he can stretch the field. He can get in and out. He's a big body underneath, so he can do everything you need him to do as a receiver, as a tight end, as blocking, running, catching, running after the catch. He's a weapon, and we got to be on him.
The Patriots have about a half dozen backs that they'll use, right? LeGarrette Blount's kind of the pile driver, but they have guys that can do every aspect and duplicate those aspects. When you look at that as a linebacker, do you rather have a team run at you right downhill, or would you, you know, what kind of attack do you prefer facing?
I mean, I just want to be prepared for whatever it is. You don't want any surprises, but in a game like this, you got to expect something different. And, they do a great job of using all their personnel, mixing it up and getting guys in that do special things, and that's throughout the whole team. They use pretty much everybody.
Having been through this, are there fewer surprises just in preparation? You've been down this road before, this scene on media day and everything else. Is it kind of like, you know, we've been through it, we know a little bit more what to expect?
Yeah, it takes a couple of days for us to adjust to this kind of the facilities, and other than that, I mean, we've been here, we're familiar. We're trying to bring the guys who haven't been here along, and hopefully they enjoy it.
You guys, what kind of reception have you gotten from the Arizona Cardinals fans around town? I hear boos every time the Seahawks are mentioned. That's got to be a point of pride, I would think, with you.
No, most definitely. That's just respect. That's how we take it, as a loud respect.
I know you love the 12th man, but it'd be kind of nice. They're traveling well, as you can hear them in the background here, but probably be nice to it'd be nice to win a Super Bowl anywhere, but to win one in the division opponent's stadium, does that have a little extra flavor to it?
I don't know how Phoenix or Arizona fans will feel about that. They're supposed to be upset, but I know our guys will love it, and it's nice and close trip for them so they can come out and celebrate.
Do you guys realize how fortunate you are? Do you just expect to be here? I mean, obviously you prepare like you expect to be here, but not everybody gets to be in the Super Bowl back-to-back years and have a great chance. chance to win it.
Our focus has always been to be humble about this process, man. You gotta, the work that we put in, it makes you appreciate when you get to moments like this. And we're able to have a platform and play football and do things that
I'm the best thing since bread. I'm the best thing since
bread. Speaking of humble, there's Bennett over there saying he's the best thing since bread.
Yeah, I think he's going on a little bit of a rant. He's talking about something else.
Hey, let me ask you as we wrap up here. You go up against Russell Wilson, very dynamic, gives you a lot of different looks in practice. Marshawn Lynch, one of the most talented backs in the NFL. All the receivers that you guys have been making plays. How much does that prepare you for what you see every week, week in, week out in the NFL?
That's one of the most fun parts, man, getting to play against those guys in practice and the way we get to work against each other and get better and working off each other and collaborating and, you know, talking about the things that we do. So that's definitely helped us get in this position, being so strong on both sides of the ball.
Well, good luck, man. If you can have the same kind of performance you had in the postseason last year, God bless you. It would be unreal, but good luck this Sunday, all right?
Appreciate it.
There you go, Malcolm Smith, Super Bowl MVP from Super Bowl 48. Michael Bennett put on a show yesterday, and it's so funny. The Seahawks talking about, you know, our main point is be humble. Pete Carroll said the key is humility, right? Wait, what? Richard Sherman.
That team's so far from humble.
Oh, my goodness, Tony. Now, some of them put a good face on it, you know.
Well, I think that Russell Wilson is a humble guy. You know, I think that some of the guys on that team are humble guys, and maybe Pete Carroll even is too, to a degree. But the reason that team is as good as it is because they have a good balance of those guys that are willing to defer and those guys that are just all swagger. And Michael Bennett and Sherman are those types of guys.
I don't think Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll is a guy who gets under opponent's skin. I think he's a little, you know, demonstrative.
Did that gum chewing?
He may not, you know, give you all the best quotes in that
right.
regard, but I think it's more his mannerisms, the way he conducts himself on the sideline.
Yep.
He enjoys it like he's a player, and that's fine. I don't have an issue with
that. No, that's cool. I know Logs played for him while he was in New York with the Jets and still loves him.
Yeah, and look, you can be braggadocious, and you need that. You need that confidence to play at this level, perform at the highest level of anything, right? But then don't try to feed us a spoonful of humility. We're
right.
not buying it. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live in Phoenix for Super Bowl 49. Our coverage brought to you all week long by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church as we raise money for Wilson's Children's Hospital all week long. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll come back, and you'll hear my conversation with ESPN's John Clayton. Hopefully we'll catch up with Charles Johnson, Minnesota Viking wide receiver, is going to sit down with us coming up in a few minutes as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live in Phoenix on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We are raising money for Wilson's Children's Hospital all week long, writing a nice big check thanks to the support of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, who make our travel mostly possible. We'll get some other great sponsors for our travel and hotel accommodations as well, like Kevin Green, my own personal certified public accountant. Tax season coming up. It's a necessary evil, unfortunately. Well, you can debate whether you think it's necessary or not, but if you're in need of a CPA, and I was, especially because I went from being a W-2 employee to a subcontractor, I don't want to handle any of that stuff. Kevin Green saves me more than I pay him, and that's the key right there. He can do personal, business, income tax returns, bookkeeping, payroll tax return services. If it has to do with your taxes and you don't want the government coming back at you, call Kevin Green, 332-6500, right across from Tinseltown, 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. 332-6500, the man I trust with my taxes. Unfortunately, I have to have someone to do that, but if I'm going to do it, Kevin's a man I trust, and I've trusted him for years. He saved me a lot of money over the years, so we appreciate him as well. Blake Bortles, where is he right now?
He's on First Take.
First Take.
Hopefully taking it to Skip Bayless.
Oh, he's absolutely making the rounds today.
He's better than Skip at life.
Richard Sherman is. We know. At least Richard Sherman feels like he is. I wouldn't doubt that Blake Bortles probably is pretty happy with where his life is.
I can imagine he would be. Yeah.
You know, he's pretty good at life so far. You know, honestly, we say that. you don't know how good any of these guys are necessarily at life, but put it this way, he's in a great position to be good at life
at
this point in time, and I think he's got the traits that will carry him far, hopefully carry the Jaguar franchise far. Let's talk with a guy I caught up with yesterday before Media Day started, as I think the band was playing in the background on this one, Tony. We got a chance to sit down for a few minutes with ESPN's John Clayton. We've got John Clayton from ESPN here. John, what do you make of the venue this year for Media Day? It's a little more cozy, I think, than years past.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different because now this is the second year they really haven't gone to the stadium. I mean, we saw the same thing last year in New York because they had it in an arena, and it's a little smaller, a little more intimate. Intimate's not good because, I mean, as you look around and you see how crowded it is, I mean, it's hard to get around and hard to find things. So it also, too, you have the fans above there. You have a band and all that stuff. It's a little crazy.
You're a Seattle-based guy. Talking about these Seahawks for a second, compare this year's defense to what we saw in the championship team last year. How good? Same? A little bit better? A little bit worse?
It may not be as good on the pass rush, but I think overall you probably could say it's a little bit better. Faster at linebacker, you know, really good with the linebackers, able to move. You know, the secondary is all seasoned. You know, they were able to now go either a little bit deeper, too. You know, they got concerns with the injuries to Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. But overall, I mean, it's the defense has done such an amazing job down the stretch. And now for a three-year period, you start to match up and say it's starting to emerge as one of the top 10 defenses in NFL history. And if it does well in the Super Bowl, now you're starting to talk maybe top five.
How much of an impact are we talking about in your mind with Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas in terms of these injuries? I mean, Sherman was back at practice pretty quickly as well. And I wouldn't think Brady's going to test him all that much anyway.
No, but they'll have to test him. It's not going to be like the opening game against Green Bay where they totally ignored the Richard Sherman side. That won't happen because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady each have had 2 weeks to look at what they see of how he reacts under the injury, and they'll definitely test him. I mean, the interesting part is, will they test him on a fade pass? On a fade pass, Richard Sherman estimates he's intercepted 20 balls, but now he's not going to be able to lift his left arm that high, so can he position himself with one arm to try to do it? You know they'll test that, and then you know they'll try to get Gronk in the middle of the field to test out Earl Thomas's ability to tackle with a dislocated shoulder. So they'll test him. Now the question is, how do they handle the test?
There's been some thought that power running is the way to get after Seattle. If you're New England, what is the game plan offensively?
You've got to be able to run. I mean, the games that they've lost four games, and the common numbers are these. 27 rushes, over 100 yards of total rushing, no turnovers, and no more than one sack. If you betray any of those four things, Seattle has a distinct edge because the way that they play, and as long as they don't repeat what they did with the turnovers, which they probably won't, then they're in the game in the fourth quarter and it's one play, win or lose. So you have to run the ball because you can get some yardage. They're a good run-stopping team, but you got to try to wear them out to string them into the fourth quarter. If not, they can beat you and beat you bad.
It's easy to focus on the Seattle defense and the Tom Brady-led offense. Let's look at the other side, though. Russell Wilson's offense against his Patriot defense. Who has the advantage?
Well, I mean, there's an advantage in the run for Seattle, not in the pass. I mean, it's not a great receiving core. It's a receiving core that can make some great plays, and for Seattle, it's not a great offensive line. But the run-stopping group for the Patriots isn't all that great. And so if they can establish the run early, that's going to be difficult and cause a lot of problems. So, you know, the key is trying to see, you know, who can get that run first. But overall, you know, the Seahawks still have a little bit of an edge for talent. We also see on the other side for the Patriots, where are they in the middle of the offensive line if Stork's not going to be able to play, because that's a weakness for them.
Where things stand right now with the whole Deflategate controversy that's been going on, where do you think this whole thing settles?
It'll settle sometime after the combine. You know, clearly there's going to be some sanctions. How hard it's going to be, hard to estimate. You know, they may, because it looks like there's enough there. I mean, you got 11 footballs that were underinflated. If there is indeed a picture or a video of somebody taking it out, somebody's going to pay the price other than the $20,000 a year ball boy. So you would figure that might go into draft choices. If they can do some linkage, it may go into a suspension.
You're well-versed in Gus Bradley's abilities, having covered him up there in Seattle as well. He's been in Jacksonville now for a couple of years. What do you make of the plan that Dave Caldwell's put in place, the execution that Gus Bradley's been able to get out of it? Hasn't totaled in a lot of wins, but they hope they're building a foundation for the future.
They're building a foundation as long as the owner understands and the fans understand it's not going to be next year that it makes the key. It may be the year after that because, you know, both of those guys inherited nothing. They inherited an expansion team. There was not much there. So it's going to take time to build it up. And, you know, if the Patriots can get it to the fourth year, that's when I think that things will start to go. They have the quarterback. They have young receivers. They need offensive linemen, but it's an offensive line draft. And they got, and Gus will work with the defense very well. And this, they got to get cornerbacks, too. But it's still going to be two more drafts before this thing gets any good.
Gus makes his first major coaching staff change, firing Jed Fish, offense coordinator. What do you make of the Greg Olsen hire? He's got a lot of experience, but not the kind of resume of stats that would impress the fan base.
Yeah, but also look at the teams and the situations he's been under. And two stats, I thought, well, one visual thing and one stat. You know, when Freeman had the great year with Olsen, he got the one great year out of him. Very good. Yeah, what was it, 27 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He did well with him. And he really did a good job with Terrell Pryor. Pryor didn't look like a quarterback before he got around Greg Olsen. And he came out and looked like a quarterback at the end. So he works well with quarterbacks, and that, I think, works well for Blake Bortles.
This Super Bowl, wrapping it up here, looks like as evenly matched as we've seen in a while, at least going into it. Certainly the betting public thinks it is. What do you think? Final outcome on Sunday.
It'll be similar to what happened in 2012. Seattle will be trailing in the fourth quarter, and they'll have to, I mean, whoever's trailing in the fourth quarter is going to get the win, because somebody's going to get the ball. Both quarterbacks are good at doing that. But one team, I think the Patriots have the fourth quarter lead, but I think Seattle comes back and wins it.
John, thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks.
There goes ESPN's John Clayton. Tony, interesting, Byron Maxwell said, oh, no, not going to call us as good as last year's defense.
Right.
And he cited Red Bryant and Chris Clemens, who are now playing down in Jacksonville with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not playing with us, obviously. But Clayton thinks overall they're a little bit better, speedier at linebacker. So, different opinions. Put it this way, they're really, really good. You talk about this running back core, Tony. Jonas Gray has a 200-yard game against the Indianapolis Colts.
Right? Yeah.
What? Well, I mean, not even the rookie we're expecting, right? James White was the guy we had our eye on. Then they go out and they sign LeGarrette Blount when the Pittsburgh Steelers release him. Obviously, they had been with him. He had been with them before. And then Jonas Gray was late for a practice or a meeting. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's persona non grata. But clearly, we saw with that 200-yard effort, he's got the talent to produce. So you got to be ready when your name is called. And I had a chance to call on Jonas Gray yesterday.
All right, we got Jonas Gray, rookie running back out of Notre Dame. This time last year, Jonas, you didn't even know where you're going to play in the NFL. What was day one like as a New England Patriot?
Day one, I think Revis has said something similar to this. You realize the work that they put in. And you know the off-season program was by far the hardest program I've been a part of. You could just see right away from day one the Patriot way.
I heard you telling a story a minute ago. One thing you did when you came in, what you felt was a smart thing, you sit right behind Tom Brady in those meeting rooms whenever you can. What is it like just playing with him, and what has he taught you?
I mean, he's a super ultra-competitive guy, man. He has a routine about the way he works. He puts in work every day like anybody I've ever seen. In terms of off-season stuff, when I used to see Tom, man, he was literally just doing everything he can to get better. You think he's a guy like Tom, future Hall of Famer, 37 years old. He walks around with a smile, knows everybody's name, stand-up guy, puts in his work every day. Can't say enough about him. I'm glad I've had the opportunity to play with him. And I tell my kids and my grandkids I had a chance to play with Tom Brady.
What's a running back meeting room like? You've got a situation where week to week, could be you, could be LeGarrette, could be Vereen, could be any number of other guys. Does that keep you on your toes? Does it make it a competitive situation?
You know, the running back room, man, it's super competitive. But it's also family-like. And I always, in terms of everything, I always look at it like the military, especially when it comes to the Patriots. You love what you do. You put in the work, but it's going to be tough. And that's how the running back room is in certain ways. You put in that work, and it's tough if you don't get the opportunity. But you're excited for the guy in front of you to get an opportunity, too. You know, sometimes it can be frustrating, but you never know. It makes you keep putting in work every day. It makes you keep working on your craft. I hope you get the opportunity, and you better be ready when you do get it.
When you look at film of a defense, and the Seattle in particular this week, what is the first thing you're looking for? Is it your blitz pickup assignments? Is it how the linebacker core plays its fits? What is it?
First thing, when I was turning on the film, the very first thing I'm going to look at is how fast the linebackers react. Are they the type of guys who can get beat on play action? Are the type of guys that run through the hole real fast? And are they physical or more finesse guys? That's the very first thing. And then after that, I'm watching the whole defense as a whole.
When you look at this linebacker core, what stands out to you?
Speed. Speed and physical. Quick. They have both a finesse game about them and a power game. I think about a guy like Bobby Wagner. I think he ran like a 4.49. Fast guy, sideline to sideline speed. It's definitely going to be a tough challenge for us.
You were telling a story a minute ago. Your mom is a police officer who worked the Super Bowl in Detroit with Seattle and Pittsburgh, and she brought you back some autographs, and how that kind of sparked in you maybe a little bit more of a hunger to do this one day.
Yeah. It was exciting, man. I got those pictures back. I watched the Super Bowl and I seen those guys out there and I'm thinking I got an autograph from these guys. I never thought, honestly, in a million years that this would be God's plan for me. I'm excited that I got the opportunity to, you know, be a part of such a great organization. And I think that we're playing our best football, man. It's crazy because yesterday I was sitting in my hotel room. I'm like, wow, I just started Super Bowl week. Like, I'm in the Super Bowl. It's what everybody talks about. It's like, I remember watching it and having to go home early because I had school the next day. So it's exciting, man, and really gratifying for all the hard work we've all put in.
I know these guys, your teammates, probably don't want to dwell on the past, but has there been any talk about take advantage of this opportunity? Because for a while there, it looked like the Patriots were going to run off a dozen of these things, but the last couple of times, it's been a long time since they won one. Has there been any of that conversation?
There's definitely been that conversation. You think you got, like, Tom and, you know, Matthew Slater, guys like that, who've been to Super Bowls and lost them and won them, and they know that these chances don't come around a whole lot. It started from the first day of practice in terms of Seattle preparation. You can tell those guys are locked in. You can tell there's a different speed and a different tempo and a different attention to detail that you haven't seen throughout the year. So I think we're ready.
All right. Have you allowed yourself to think what the moment could be like if the Patriots are the winners and that confetti's falling on Sunday?
Man, I haven't had a chance to really sit down and think about it. I think before the game or a couple days before, it'll hit me. I think it's a cool thing, all the pageantry, everything that comes with it. So I'm excited, man, but, you know, I really want to shift my focus just on the game, and hopefully I can carve out a role for myself.
Hey, well, good luck to you this Sunday. We'll be watching for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jonas Gray, pretty impressive dude, and it's ironic. I mean, one of those photos that his mom gets autographed is Jerome Bettis, Notre Dame running back. He falls in his footsteps there, now falls in his footsteps. You know, Bettis had to wait till the final game of his career to win the Super Bowl. Jonas Gray has a chance to get a Super Bowl ring in his first season in the National Football League and then forever be spoiled and think it's going to happen every single year. It only happens every single year, apparently, if you're the Seattle Seahawks. Although, I would say six Super Bowls in the Brady Belichick era.
It's pretty good.
Pretty damn good. One of those guys is going back to the Super Bowl and seeking a ring. Former Jaguar, Dan Connolly, offensive lineman. I don't know if you consider him necessarily one that got away. Tom McManus, when we had him on a couple weeks ago, you know, said, hey, look, he's just another guy, long-time player on a very successful franchise. You know, we can't let this continue to happen. I get a chance to spend a minute or two with Dan yesterday.
A long time ago, Dan Connolly spent some years in Jacksonville with the Jaguars, spent the majority of his career with the New England Patriots, and here now for Media Day, Super Bowl 49. What's it like playing for this franchise?
It's been a great honor. You know, all the years that I've been here, it's just, it's a great organization to be a part of, and it's just a great group of guys, great coaches, great owner, and just, you know, a lot of guys who care about their job and want to come to work every day and work hard. It's just, it's a fun place to be.
All that being said, what have the last week and a half or so been like with all this, you know, Deflategate controversy going on?
I think for myself, I just had to kind of focus on the job we have and, really focus on who we're playing and the game we've got ahead of us. That's been my goal this past 2 weeks.
You focus on the Seattle defense. What do you see? What's your biggest challenge as an offensive lineman?
Their front. I mean, obviously, they got a great group of guys. When they're rushing the passer, they got a guy like Michael Bennett in there. He does a great job getting around guards, getting to the passer. On the edge, they got Bruce Irvin, Cliff Averill. Again, guys that do a great job getting upfield and getting to the quarterback. And then stopping the run, they're good too. They got Williams and McDaniel in there that are really big guys, physical guys that do a really good job stopping the run.
Week in, week out, you guys seem to be more versatile on offense when it comes to game planning for a specific opponent. Is that fun or is that more of a challenge as an offensive lineman? One week maybe you're a power running team, but next week you're going to throw it 50 times.
Whatever is asked of us, that's just what we're prepared to do. However the game is going to declare itself, whatever play is called, we just try to do our job. job and, you know, and execute what's called.
We hear Belichick's actually kind of funny behind the scenes. Can you confirm or deny?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's some humor at times. Like his Mona Lisa Vito reference last week was, you know, a little bit of comedy.
For you, this game, you've been to the Super Bowl. You got to win this one, right? I mean, what would it feel like if you're able to finally get a piece of that Lombardi Trophy?
You know, the focus is just to have a complete game, team play, you know, a great complimentary game, and you know, be champions. You know, that's it's we're all very honored to be here. We've worked hard to get here, and you know, it's going to take a lot of preparation this week, but you know, we want to be successful this week, so it's going to be a tough challenge for us, but you know, we're working hard to get there.
And good luck this Sunday.
Thanks a lot.
The focus, Tony, is to play a great complimentary game, okay? Because if you lose the Super Bowl, you look back in 10 years and you say, you know what? It doesn't matter. We played a great complimentary game, right? You buying
it's,
that?
You know, it's why I love the movie Bull Durham as much as I do. Every time I hear an interview like that, when someone gets to the point where you start asking them questions about actual gameplay and stuff, they may give you something when you're talking personal. You know, they may give you something when you're talking about how they got to where they are, that kind of thing. But you start asking them about the game, and there it comes. Just want to give 110%. Want to make sure I'm supporting my teammates, doing my job, not worrying about what everybody else is doing. And if we can do that, we're going to find a way to win this game on Sunday. Those are the answers you're going to get when you get to that point. It's just, you just read the notes. It's like they wrote that book 100 years ago, and everyone's still reading the same chapter.
They do... You do hear a few Patriots mention that Belichick is a different guy behind closed doors. But it was once I brought up behind the scenes, he goes, sure.
I hear Bill. Can you confirm or deny? Yes.
Yes. Sure. He's a little bit of comedy there. He said that Mona Lisa Vito thing in public, so I guess I can comment on that. So, Dan Connolly, the Patriot way, in evidence right there. We've got some guys from the defensive side of the football as well with the New England Patriots coming up. Sports a lot about numbers, Tony. One number that you and I are always concerned with, our handicap and lowering it. How can we play our best golf? Well, it's simple. You go to Golf Tech and you go take advantage of the training camp promotion that's going on. It's a comprehensive improvement plan, really, for 3 months. You're going to get a head start on the golf season, and it's going to help you play, hopefully, the best golf of your life. You're going to get fact-based diagnosis. They're going to break it down using video, motion measurements, and they've got a database of over 150 tour players. They're going to compare your swing to see who you're most similar to, and they're going to tailor their lessons to you and your specific swing. Not every golf swing is the same. Anybody who's ever played with me knows that's true, okay? And you're going to get sequential lessons that build upon one another, video-based practice plans, advanced retention tools, and then they'll custom fit you for clubs as well, because, you know, if you're playing with the equipment that doesn't suit your body, doesn't suit your swing, you're not going to get the most out of your golf game. Call Golf Tech at 998-4650. This is the year you play your best golf ever. Take advantage of the Golf Tech, the Golf Tech training camp promotion going on right now. Ask for Nico, my buddy over at Golf Tech. 998-4650. Golf Tech helping us get out here to Phoenix, Arizona. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we will continue along Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Coming up next, we go to the defensive side of the football with the New England Patriots here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, don't forget, Fan Feedback Spotlight all week is basically your predictions on the Super Bowl. Who's going to win the game, and one prediction of something that will occur in the game. Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. Hopefully you don't have issues with your home's foundation, but your most important investment needs to be taken care of. If you do, call Foundation Professionals of Florida at 287-2690 or visit FoundationProsFL.com, where you can tweet me at MD_1010XL. Try to use the hashtag SBSwagBag. You can post on the Facebook page for Jaguars Today. You can email Mike D at 1010XL.com. All valid ways to enter. You can only enter one time. However, you want to predict the winner of the game and one prediction on something that will happen in the game. We take all the correct responses. They have to be correct on both scores, and I don't mean score of the game, but both counts, I should say, and then the one that we deem least likely to have occurred that actually did will win the swag bag of stuff that we collect all throughout the course of the week. Now, got a chance to collect some interviews with New England Patriot defensive players yesterday, and let's start things off by listening in to Jonathan Casillas.
All right, we got Patriot linebacker Jonathan Casillas here with us. Jonathan, you look at his team on film, the Seahawks. It's a downhill runner you're going up against this week. How tough is Marshawn Lynch from what you've seen on film?
He's the toughest they get, man. You know, I've been in the league 6 years, and, you know, I've played against a lot of backs, the Adrian Petersons, you know, a lot of backs. He's one of those guys, you know, that you know, when you watch a film on him, you know, he's impressive. He breaks every first tackle he breaks, you know, and he's a workhorse for them, and he's been doing it for a while, man. And, you know, we got our hands full, definitely, with that guy.
Usually you try to make a team one-dimensional, right? You stop that run, but if that dimension becomes Russell Wilson, he's got the threat of the run. He's going to extend the play to pass downfield. It's got to put a lot of pressure on you as well.
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. You know, people want to call him a manager and stuff like that. He's no manager. He's a playmaker. He makes a lot of plays. He can throw the ball down the field. He can stretch it out. And his knack for escaping outside the pocket is unbelievable. And, I mean, a guy had like 800 rushing yards this year at quarterback. Like, who's the last person to do something like that? Vic? And everybody knows Vic. It's Vic, you know. That's Vic. That's what Vic does. You know, and Russell Wilson has quietly done that. You know what I mean? And, you know, everybody knows what he can do. Down the field, he throws the ball down the field, and I mean, he's gotten his team as a young kid back-to-back Super Bowl. So, I mean, hats off to that dude, man.
Definitely.
And he's a Badger, too.
Of course you love that. Definitely impressive. Different style, obviously, than Tom Brady that you see in practice every day. But how much does that get your entire defense ready for the best of the National Football League to go up against that guy?
Well, it provides that extra element that, you know, can scare some defenses if you're not prepared. You know, I feel like you have to be prepared for a guy like this. You know, him, Kaepernick, you know, those guys, Cam Newton, those guys that if they get in a little trouble, they can create outside of pocket, and then they're athletic enough to get the first down, get the tough yardage, and put their shoulder down. You know, there's a lot of scrambling quarterbacks get the first down around the bounds. Like, this guy take a hit, you know, and you know, he creates that element, and everybody has to be on point. Defensive ends can't go running up the field. You know, they can't do that, you know, against this guy. And, you know, we got to do a good job against this guy in the pocket. And then if he goes outside the pocket, we got to do a tremendous job on him doing that as well. So he creates that element that defenses are scared of. We got to just do a good job against him.
Do you like the fact that, I mean, the Seahawks defense is the defense that gets talked more about, right? Because they were in the Super Bowl last year. They got the nickname and all that stuff. But you guys have been pretty impressive, got a lot of playmakers yourself. Do you like coming in maybe a little bit under the radar as far as that goes?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, me personally, you know, I'm a bit of an underdog. You know, I'm an undrafted guy. You know, I play teams. I play a little linebacker here and there, you know. But, you know, I like it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they're deserving for the credit they've got, you know. They've dominated this year, especially in the last 8 or 9 games in the playoffs. You know, they've done a tremendous job. They beat a great Green Bay team, came back from a team that had them down and out, you know, and it's tremendous for them, you know, and hats off to them. You know, they deserve it, you know, but they got to face us this weekend. So we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, we certainly saw you guys dominate your last time. You feel like you guys are playing your best football or ready to play it this Sunday?
I think so. You know, I feel like we've had some, you know, some tough games. We had a Green Bay loss that really helped us, I feel like, you know, taking a step back and analyzing our team and looking at it, and then now moving forward, you know, big win against Indy, big win against the Ravens, tough win against a great Baltimore team, and tough win against Indy. You know, so we're definitely confident. I think we're playing good ball, you know, and we got to have our best game against the Seattle, because if we don't, we're going to get beat, because that's a good team we're playing against.
Hey, man, have fun with it, and good luck this Sunday, all right?
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go, Jonathan Casillas of the New England Patriots. He said a lot of special teams, a little bit of linebacker mixed in. Taking a look at that secondary, Tony, let's get these in under the wire. I know you had a chance to talk with Patrick Chung, who just re-upped, new deal for him, so let's listen into that.
All right, here with Patrick Chung on Radio Row here at Media Days. And first of all, man, just taking in this whole scene, what's it like being out here?
It's awesome. it's awesome, man. Some players don't even get to come here once, you know, so it feels good just to be here and experience this, man, and all these fans are here in media, so we got to mess around a little bit, so it's definitely a good experience.
Fans is crazy, isn't it? I mean, they're out here watching you guys talk to media. How nuts is this?
Hey, man, we love our fans. You know, Seahawks love their fans, so it's good. It's good. It's good to have a turnout like that. See your fans out here supporting you.
You've been out here the last week, basically. Have you seen any of Phoenix at all?
No, not really.
You know, it's wide open. It's wide open out there, and they put you guys in this little room to do media day.
Hey, man, we're here on business trip, baby. We're on business trip. We'll have time to celebrate later. You know, it's just.
Speaking of a business trip, what does Seattle do on offense that can present problems for you guys?
Everything. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They have a quarterback that can run and throw. Good receivers. Good defense. Special teams. They're a good team, man. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. You know, they're the best team in the NFC, so they're here.
Marshawn Lynch, how tough is he to tackle on the open field?
Very tough. He's been tough since college, you know, so he's good, man. He's one of the best. You're going to have to try to contain him and do the best we can just to contain him. He's going to have his runs. He's a good player, man. He's going to have his plays, but just got to try to limit the big plays.
Seemed like in the NFC Championship game that Green Bay did a pretty good job of keeping Russell in the pocket, and that really affected how effective the Seahawks could be on offense. Is that kind of the game plan for you guys too on Sunday?
Game plan is just try to stop them. I mean, you can try to do all you want to do, try to game plan all you want to game plan, but when it comes down to it, it just comes down to execution. So if we're able to execute our game plan, whatever that game plan is, I think we'll be okay. But at the same time, they're getting paid too, and they're going to make some plays.
Seahawks receivers have been called mediocre. They've been called no name. Obviously, they take offense to those kind of things. I'm not asking you to label them. Just what do you see on tape that these guys do well?
I'm not going to label them as that at all. They work hard, they play hard, and they're very passionate. You know, I see that on film. So you can say what you want to say about them. They're here for a reason. They're here because they're good, and they can make plays.
What's going to happen on Sunday night?
We'll see. It'll be a good game.
We'll see. No prediction?
No prediction. We'll see. It'll be a good game.
All right. Thank you, Patrick.
All right, no predictions, Tony. Nobody got to predict.
Nope.
Although I did tell you earlier, I heard Jonathan Casillas talking to Kirk Morrison right before I got a chance to speak with him myself. And Kirk said, you know, what are you doing after the game, after basically the season's over with? He goes, well, hopefully a parade. and he said it just so offhand. It wasn't like, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're going to win. He didn't say we will have a parade. He said, you know, hopefully a parade, and then I'll figure it out from there. And, you know, so I'm not going to make plans for next Monday or Tuesday, I guess, would be his point of view.
Now you'll get that kind of thing. I know I was kind of off the microphone talking to Ricardo Lockett, the wide receiver for the Seahawks, and I asked him, you know, what can the Patriots do to give you guys problems? And he paused and thought for a second. He said, play with 13 guys. I mean, he's a confident guy.
Ricardo
a lot of those Seahawks guys are.
He was overly confident. I thought, hey, dude, you're Ricardo Lockett, all right? You're not Doug Baldwin. And
play with 13.
Right. By the way, Doug Baldwin is not Jerry Rice either. So,
no.
You know, enjoy it. Hey, look, you're a Super Bowl champ. You can act however you like, but you're still in NFL terms. Not exactly the top of the pecking order.
Hey,
but
we all doubted him.
Team is. What's that?
We all doubted him. That was it.
Oh, well, of course.
We all doubted Curse. We all doubted that whole team. None of us thought they'd make the playoffs.
We counted them out.
Sure, right. Didn't think the defending Super Bowl champs had
whatever gets you here, boys. Whatever gets you here.
Yeah, whatever it is, they got them back here, didn't it? All right, that's going to do it for us. We got back here courtesy of our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church every Wednesday on Jaguars Today, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Tony and I are looking forward to sitting down with Blake Bortles in a couple of hours. You'll hear that conversation among many others tomorrow here. Alan Robinson, some point today, going to stop by Radio Row. Either we'll have that for you tomorrow, or Frank and Rick will have it for you live at some point this afternoon, hopefully if things work out. We're looking forward to that, and I'm sure plenty of surprises along the way. And, oh, yes, she'll be here tomorrow, Lauren Brooks, if you're listening right now. I will see you
we
at the Phoenix Airport tonight. And she's like, man, you don't think I'm going to bed without a cocktail? Like, you do whatever you like, because from the time your plane lands, we're up in about 6 hours. Okay,
yep.
So you can spend that time however you choose. That's really up to you at this point in time. Good stuff today. Thanks to all of our guests. I don't want to start listing them because we'll forget some, but why not? We Charles Johnson, John Clayton, bunch of the Seahawk players, bunch of the Patriot players, anybody I may have forgotten, apologies to you. They're probably not listening at this point in time. However, and shout out to Phil Young, our cabbie, from the other night. Amazing.
Yeah. I think I found a photo of Phil online. I may tweet it out so that the whole world can enjoy Phil as much as I did.
Why wouldn't you really do that, Tony? I mean, because he is such an entertaining extra in all the movies and all the 17 radio stations he's worked for.
That's right.
In his storied career, in his spare time when he's not driving that cab around the Phoenix metro area. All right, that does it for us today. Again, thanks to all of our great sponsors, Metro Rooter, our Wednesday regular, and St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Again, check out Jack's Greek Fest. com to find out all the details about all the fun and amenities that you'll get to take part in April when the Greek Festival comes to the Jacksonville Fairgrounds. And like their Facebook page, St. John the Divine Jacks, every new like this week raises even more money for Wilson's Children's Hospital. That does it for us. Live from Radio Row, we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. Coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.